Years ago, there was a very bad king. He lived in Egypt, and he hated the Israelites. In fact, he hated the Israelites so much that he commanded that all of their baby boys, they should be drowned in the river. He was a very bad king. But there was a mother, and she loved her son, her baby boy, so very much that she hid him from the king as long as she possibly could. And when she could no longer hide him, she created this basket. She weaved a basket, and she put her baby in the basket, and she set him in the river so that he would float down the river to where the Pharaoh's daughter would go to bathe and would be able to see him. And when the Pharaoh's daughter went to the river, and she was there bathing, and her nurses, her maids, were women helpers were standing around, she heard this crying over in the reeds, and she walked over there, and there was this basket, and they opened the basket, and in the basket there was this baby boy, and she loved the baby. She named him Moses, and it just so happened that Moses' sister Miriam was there, and she says to Pharaoh's daughter, "Do you want me to go find a Hebrew woman to come and to nurse this baby for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said, "Yes, go and find a woman for me." So Miriam, she quickly went and got Moses' mother to come and to nurse Moses. Pharaoh's daughter said, "Take him, nurse him, take care of him for me, and I will give you your wages." Moses' mother became Moses' nurse, his nanny. Today, as we work our way through our children's stories where we're talking about Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith, we're going to be talking a little bit about Moses. But more specifically, the day that Moses said no. Henry Ward Beecher, he was a well-known preacher and evangelist during the Second Great Awakening, which was a religious revival in the early 1800s. It helped to shape America's morality for decades. They say that when Beecher was a boy, one of his teachers asked one of the other students in the class a question. So the student stood up, and the student gave his answer, but the teacher became angry and said to him that he was wrong and commanded that the boy should sit down. Shocked by this, the boy, he quietly sat down. Several of the students were asked the exact same question. Interesting thing is, they all gave the same answer. And they were all rebuked in the exact same manner. And then the teacher called on Beecher. The boy stood up, and he gave the exact same answer that the other children had given. When the teacher shouted at him to sit down, Beecher said, "No, I am not going to sit down." He insisted that he was right. And even when the teacher kept criticizing him and shouting at him, Beecher held his ground. And he insisted that his answer and all the other students' answers, they were correct. Finally, the teacher said with a smile on the face, "Well, boys, you are all correct. But Beecher was the only one sure enough to stand up for it." Henry Ward Beecher, he said no to the teacher. I'm sure he did so respectfully, but still he said no. But why would he do that? Why would he say no? He did that because he had faith in the rightness of his answer. I'll be back in just a moment. Today, as we continue our way, working our way through Hebrews 11, our scripture is found in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. Our scripture tells us that there came a time in Moses' life when he had to say no. I'm going to ask you if you would stand. We're going to read through verses 24 through 26 right now. 27 will come up in a little, just a little bit. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, read like this. "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused," that is, he said no, "he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Thank you. You may be seated, and may Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Now, from the children's story that we just kind of went through of Moses and the reed and Pharaoh's daughter, we know how Moses got to grow up. He grew up in Pharaoh's home. He was the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he would have been trained in the religion of Egypt. He would have learned about their many gods, including the Pharaoh. Moses would have been taught to worship his step-grandfather as if he were a son of one of the gods who brought favor upon Egypt. In fact, it is very possible that Moses himself was being groomed, was being trained to become the very next Pharaoh, to be a god himself. But even if he wasn't going to be the next Pharaoh, unquestionably, he would have become a man of prominence, a man of power there within Israel, within Egypt. Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, speculated that Moses would have been very handsome. He would have been an educated prince. He was a mighty warrior for Egypt. Josephus goes and tells about a time when Moses led the Egyptians against the Ethiopians in taking one of their major cities. Of course, it's all pure speculation. All we have are history books. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. But the one thing that we can be sure of, Moses was destined to be a leader there in Egypt. But then, one day Moses said, no. No, I'm not doing that. There came a day when Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Exodus chapter 2, where we find some of the narrative going on, Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 says, one day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people, and he looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. As you read through that, one of the questions is, his people. Where would Moses have got the idea that the Hebrews were his people? He grew up in Egypt, Egyptians. Well, more than likely, he knew it all the time. Exodus chapter 2, verses 5 through 9 tells us, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister Miriam said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take the child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman, Moses' mother, the woman took the child and nursed him. You see, Moses' very own mother got to raise him. She got to teach him. She got to be an influence in his life as he's growing up. Now, was that a coincidence that Moses' mother got the opportunity to raise her own child? Well, Albert Einstein, he said, coincidence is God's way of working anonymously. And when it comes to God, I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in things just happening by chance. I suspect that Moses' mother was there all through his childhood because God wanted her to be there. He wanted her to teach him, to teach Moses all about her faith. As she's being the nanny to him and teaching him and instructing him, she's able to share her faith with him. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that Moses made his decision by faith. Remember, it says, by faith this, by faith that. So where would Moses have heard about God? He would have probably heard it from his mama. His mama would have told Moses all about God's promises, all about how God had brought the Israelites there into Egypt, all about how God had protected Moses there on the river from being drowned. Jochebed, who was Moses' mother, she would have repeatedly driven home the fact to her son that she believed in a mighty and powerful God. She made her faith come alive there for Moses as he was growing up. But wait a minute. If it was there all the time from when he was little until he was growing up, if Moses caught his faith from his mother, how come it took 40 years? How come it wasn't until he was 40 years old that we now read that he thought of the Hebrews as being his people? 40 years is a long time. Well, here's what I think happened. Moses was raised there in Pharaoh's house for 40 years. For 40 years, he was taught all about Egypt, all about its powers. For 40 years, he is surrounded by power and prestige. And for 40 years, he is living there in luxury. He is living in comfort there in Pharaoh's house. He's got the best. He's got it all. Sure, he had been born a Hebrew, but he was raised as an Egyptian. And it wasn't very hard to leave that world. Hebrews 11:25 tells us that Moses chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. You see, I think Moses found it very pleasurable. I think he found it pleasant. It was nice to live there in Pharaoh's house. People taking care of him, people with these fans to fan him, people serving his every need. He knew he was a Hebrew. He'd been taught that. He'd grown up content with the advantages of the life that he was living. He had learned to walk and to talk and to live like an Egyptian, and he liked it. It was good. But one day he had to make a choice. One day he had to decide that this worldly life just was not going to work with his mother's faith. And when he made that decision, it then became his faith. His mother's faith became his faith. Now, granted, it wasn't until he was 40 years old, but he still had to make that decision. My point is this: there will come a time in your life when you will have to make those choices. Times when you realize that by faith, you have to say no to the world. Now, we all have at least one decision that we have to make that's the same, and that is the decision whether to accept Jesus Christ or to reject him. We all have that decision to make. And then as you're walking in faith and as you're walking through your life, you will have other decisions. I can't tell you when they'll come. I can't tell you what they'll be. But you'll have to make a decision. And you will know that it's a decision you'll have to make because it will be there. You'll realize that you cannot be a Christian. You cannot continue to follow after Christ and to live life in the Spirit and live the way that you had been living. It won't be an easy decision, but you'll have to make it, and you'll know what the right choice is. And then it's the next part of our passage in Hebrews 11 that kind of puzzled me a little bit. Hebrews 11:27. It says, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And the reason that puzzled me a little bit is when you read about Moses in the Old Testament, it says that Moses was afraid. See, Moses saw a taskmaster who was beating a Hebrew, and he killed the Egyptian. Then we were told that Moses was afraid, and he thought, surely the thing is known. And when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh, and he stayed in the land of Midian. And so what's going on here? Hebrews says that Moses was not afraid of the anger of the king, and yet Exodus tells us that Pharaoh was afraid. So which one is it? Well, I've looked at this, studied it, prayed about it. It occurred to me. Hebrews chapter 11. It is focused on Moses' faith. By faith, Moses did this, and by faith, Moses did that. Actually, by faith, all kinds of different other people did different things. It was all by faith. Notice that Hebrews never says, by faith, Moses struck and killed the Egyptian taskmaster. But why would it not say that? Because he didn't do it in faith. It wasn't faith that led Moses to kill the man. Exodus chapter 2, verse 12 says, Moses looked this way and he looked that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. He killed him and he buried the body. He hid it. You see, that's not faith. If you have to look around to make sure that no one sees what it is that you are doing, it's not faith. If you have to hide what it is that you are doing, or what you have done, then that's not faith. It's guilt. And Moses knew that what he had done, the thing he had done, was wrong, and yet he still somehow felt justified in doing it. It was still a bad choice, and there are consequences for those. Because Moses had made the bad choice, he died to his dream. He died to becoming a Hebrew. And for another 40 years, Moses lived as an outcast there in the desert. So that's 40 and 40 before God actually got to use him. That's 80. I'm getting old. I'm 62 almost. Whew, 80. Yes. But why did God tell us about that part of Moses' life? Why would God want us to see that Moses had messed everything up? Well, because God wanted you and I to know that we might mess things up. And when we do, we would need to see that Moses had messed things up and that God could still use him. We might mess things up that rob us of our hopes, rob us of our dreams, make us feel guilty, make us think that God would never want to have anything to do with us anymore. We might be tempted to run away from God and to try to hide from God just like Moses did. And that's, I think, why God focused on how Moses messed up, how he trashed his own life. See, Moses, he started out strong by faith. He said no to being son of Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, but then he went and really messed things up. Thought, that's it, it's all over, and he runs away. God couldn't love him anymore. See, the repeated message that we find as we read through Hebrews 11 is that almost all of them, men and women, all of them, they messed things up. All the great men and women of faith, they seem to have somehow gotten something wrong. See, Moses, he had made a decision to act by faith before he messed it up. He thought he'd have to run away from God. And when the time came, when the time was right, God came looking for Moses. And that's when Moses' life changed forever. When Hebrews 11:27 says, by faith Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. See, from there, God skipped over all the failure of Moses that nearly destroyed him. God skipped over the killing of the Egyptian taskmaster, the fleeing into the desert. And God went straight to the faith that Moses had. And he went straight from the faith that Moses had in saying no to Pharaoh's daughter. And he went straight to the faith there at the burning bush. As Pharaoh then goes and he boldly enters into Pharaoh's court and he declares, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me." You see, as we wrap it up, that's what God does. God takes people who mess things up and he turns them into men and women who now have faith, who now have power. It was back in the 3rd century, and there was a debate that was going on between a Christian leader, his name was Origen, and a Greek philosopher who was a hater of Christianity. His name was Celsus. And Celsus was mocking Christ by saying, "When most teachers go forth to teach, they cry, 'Come to me, all you who are clean and worthy.' And they are followed by the highest caliber of people available. But your silly master cries, 'Come to me, all you who are down and beaten by life.' And he accumulates around him the rag, tag, and bobtail of humanity." And Origen, he simply smiles. Yes, they are the rag, tag, and bobtail of humanity. But see, Jesus does not leave them that way. Out of the material that you would have thrown away as useless, he fashions men and women, giving them back their self-respect, enabling them to stand on their feet and to look God in the eyes. They are cowed, they are cringed, they are broken things, but the Son has set them free. And you see, as we look at Moses' life, and the things that went on in his life, and it's actually broken up into 3 40-year sections. Moses got to the point where God was able to come looking for him, and God was able to shape him and to mold him and to use him. The question for you this morning is there something that you need to say no to as you are walking your life, walking in the Spirit-filled life? Is there something that you need to say no to? Some way that God is shaping you and molding you, fashioning you to become the person that he created you to be, that he knows that you can be. And will you allow him to do that?